Today is the third Sunday after Easter. The updated limited mass attendance and confessions announcement may be seen on the website for details, and if you have any questions, you may contact us. Things are changing out there almost hourly, so we had to revise some of the things we had put down. You may also view the Sunday and daily Mass on the live stream on our website. Feast days this week: Monday, May 4th, St. Monica; Tuesday, St. Pius V; Thursday, St. Stanislaus; and Saturday, St. Gregory Nazianzen. The First Communion Sunday, which was scheduled for today, has been postponed to a later date, hopefully at the end of May or in June. We will announce the date as soon as possible. And just for the, so check the website for the newest revised information on the Mass and everything. But one thing, just to let you know, as you already probably know, because we did send out something last night, we're only asking people to sign up once a week for the daily Mass and once a month for the Sunday Mass. However, we have more positions open, so for the weekdays, you can check that particular day. If there's still an opening, you can take that. So in effect, you could end up coming to Mass, weekday Mass, 5 days a week. But on the Sundays, you can sign up only once for the month. But again, you can check for a particular Sunday, and if there are openings, you can take an opening on that day. However, grand total, you can only come twice a month on Sundays. That's so everyone has a chance to do that same thing. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father." They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, But this world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are past the midpoint in these 40 days celebrating Easter. So this is a Mass for us to look back and forward, right? We're right in this middle. Looking back is a matter of review, things we've already seen and heard, but that we want to emphasize because of the fact that they are so attacked in our world today. So we want to, we already know this, but maybe it's just for our sake. We want to remember the Paschal candle, the sacramental sign of our Lord's presence throughout these 40 days, burning bright, giving us the light of Christ in revealing the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are recalling now, as the liturgy is our great teacher, I say reviewing, but now I have to say it, see, teacher in us. I just summed up that first part of the Easter Vigil, culminating in light of Christ. Now I'm going to sum up the culmination of the Easter Vigil. It is all leading up, we're waiting for our Lord to rise, but we're going to bring in new members in baptism. But that does not exclude everyone else, because in all of your names, for the whole church, but I'm doing it now for you, and as I recall now, the people that may be watching, what that vigil led up to, when the priest said, as we are here awaiting in vigil the rising of Christ from the dead, recall, brethren, all of the practices and devotions and sacrifices and penance that we have done during Lent. Recall that. And recall our vows of holy baptism, by which we have renounced Satan and his works, and those of the world, which is the enemy of God, and promised to serve God faithfully in the Holy Catholic Church. And we heard the priest say, and the people respond, and this is our chance to hear it again. Do you renounce Satan? Do you renounce all his works and all his pomps? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born and who suffered? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And everyone renounced evil and expressed belief. We do it again now. And then the priest says, let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Now, going from the liturgy, oh, I almost forgot. That's why notes are good. First of all, hopefully everyone's been reading the Mass text, especially now when we can't come to Mass as often as we want. And we hope everyone's been listening to the sermons. So I'm just drawing right now. Well, probably everything I just said I've drawn from the other sermons. But now specifically I'm drawing on some sermons. Namely, last week, very consoling, all about the Good Shepherd. Hopefully you heard it. You can still hear it. It's on the website. But Father said, especially now, the importance of the Holy Rosary. And we today want to emphasize that and add, this is the month of May. We should be saying our daily rosary and more. The rosary, we can't go through all the details. The rosary is that sacramental given from heaven through the Blessed Virgin Mary. She said, I will save the world through the rosary. We can see some of the reasons now. Because when we cannot have the liturgy, the rosary gives us the liturgy in our hand. Well, we never get to do this, but today we did because of the schedule. We said the rosary before Mass. Hopefully that's helping. The other thing we want to tell everyone is, by God's design and privilege, I am being able to offer a second Mass today. It's called binating. It's permitted for pastoral needs. A stipend is given for a Mass that's offered, and it's supposed to give the means for the priest to survive for that day. So when a priest says more than one Mass, he doesn't need a stipend. He's already received a stipend to support him for the day. So no stipend can be taken for additional Masses. So there's no stipend for this Mass. That also means that there has not been an intention asked for this Mass. The priest can make his own. I ask everyone here and those who may be with us to join in my intention, a special one for all of us. I also want to pick up on last week's Good Shepherd Sunday, the appeal for vocations from the Good Shepherd. Not going to go into it in detail, but I just want to say something. One of the priests said, not in a sermon, but just commenting on this crisis we're going through. And he said, with great insight, this hasn't really affected our life. Our life goes on just as ever. Now, unfortunately, it has affected us in some way, obviously, but not our daily life. And I want to point this out. We are a semi-contemplative community. That is, we have a mixed apostolate. That is, we have contemplation and we also have the active life mixed together. So it's semi-contemplative, halfway to contemplative. And this crisis has shown the flexibility of this community, the ability to take those truths in contemplation and give them to the faithful. That's the motto of the Dominicans. And the ability of the community to take on the pastoral aspect in a greater way. So we can accommodate and have four Masses on Sunday. We can reach out to the people as best we can. This is the dynamism of this community. I just want to express that. And interestingly enough, as again Father was saying last week, the number of people coming to us inquiring about a vocation through this crisis, I think we got 12 inquiries in one day. Because when things like this happen, people start thinking of eternity. Okay, back to this review. Cannot go through details, obviously. This is just a review, but I just want you to hear it. Maybe it can be springboard to prayer. So our Lord, death is the separation of body and soul. Our Lord's human body and soul were separated when he died on the cross. His body was put in the tomb. His soul, human soul, descended into the lower regions to the limbo of the patriarchs, seeing St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, Adam, and everyone all the way. encouraging them, your time of exile is almost over. Then reuniting with his body, bringing his soul together, and rising from the dead, the power of the Trinity being expressed. We can say the Father raised him, the Holy Ghost raised him, he raised himself. And what did he do? He went and saw his mother. It's not in the scriptures, except by omission. She who was with him at every step of the way suddenly is not there when the women go to see him in the tomb. Does that not strike anyone as strange? Why? He had spent midnight up until those early hours of the morning with his blessed mother. Who knows what that was like? We'll never know. Maybe the Blessed Mother will teach us some things, tell us some things in heaven. Then what happens? Then our Lord's, now his work starts. He has to, first, the angels come, earthquake, guards run, the ladies, the women, holy women come, they see the angel at the tomb, they run back to tell the apostles something's happening. St. Mary Magdalene's with them, but she stops because she has to go back and, on her own. She goes back, on the way, our Lord appeared to these holy women. We're talking about how our Lord appeared. He appeared to her, to those women. Then he appeared specially to St. Mary Magdalene. She then is told to go tell the apostles. They come running. Then later in the day on the road to Emmaus, I'm going quickly, he joins these two disciples, walks with them. They don't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. And they said, did not our souls burn as he spoke to us on the way? And then they rush back to Jerusalem, and they're there for our Lord coming again to see all the apostles, his official meeting of them, telling him, peace be to you, giving them the sacrament of penance. And then there he appears again separately to St. Peter. We don't know anything about it except that he did. Then the next week, he comes back again just for St. Thomas. You heard about that on Low Sunday. Then he came when they told him, go to Galilee and wait for me there. He came to them on the shore, gave them breakfast, described in more detail the primacy of St. Peter, gave that enigmatic prophecy about St. John. And then at some mountain, Mount Tabor, Hermon, we don't know exactly, he appeared to over 500 people. That's a neglected appearance. He appeared to 500 people. Finally, then, Ascension Thursday, he appeared again, ate with them, and then he ascended into heaven. Now, I go through that in detail because the resurrection is attacked. Easter is attacked by the devil and his cohorts because he recognizes what it is, the proof of everything our Lord said. And that's what it was meant to be. It is the proof. And St. Paul says, without this proof, your faith is vain. You believe in a myth. That's what they want you to think. There's no myth. It's a fact. Whether they like it or not. So that's why we review, so we attest to this, and we accept it. It is so critical that it is the mark, the requirement of being an apostle. When they picked St. Matthias, one of the requirements, besides having followed our Lord from the baptism up to the crucifixion, was he had to be able to attest to the resurrection. That was St. Paul's claim to be an apostle. I have seen the risen Christ. So all Christians, that is our claim. We know the risen Christ. To the world, we can say it. To those who don't have any faith at all. Now, taking the liturgy and looking ahead as we go through today. Oh, I should just make this point. Again, the notes help. What is it about the risen body? Our Lord rose glorious and immortal on Easter Sunday, the third day after his death. Isn't the catechism excellent? You have 500 questions summarizing the whole faith, gives us the answers instantly. Anyone asks us one of these questions, we can tell them the answer. So what is it about this body of Christ? It's glorious. Not features are there, but not easily discerned. St. Mary Magdalene did not recognize our Lord, except by his voice. These men at Emmaus did not recognize until the breaking of the bread. Liturgically, that's the fraction at Mass, and that part of the host is then dropped into the chalice. The resurrection, the body and blood reunited at the Mass. Being St. Thomas, we have it better than St. Thomas. He alone, as far as we know, touched the Sacred Heart with his hand. But we receive the Sacred Heart every time in Holy Communion. So our Lord is doing it for us too. So he is glorious. There is a light shining from him, covered. If he came out as it would, no one could see him. He is immortal. He will never die again. Impassible. He can never be hurt again. He does not need to eat. He does eat with the apostles just to show that he does have flesh and blood, but he doesn't need it. He has subtlety, the ability as a bodily material thing, his body, to pass through other material things. He walks right through the doors into the cenacle. He has agility that this body can move with the speed of thought. And this is all meant for us in our risen body. In the couple of minutes left, which is really unfair that we have to restrict, because we need more than ever the truths of the faith, especially in these days. But let's just take a look at this Mass. We can't take it all apart in a short amount of time. But you can see the opening words of this introit: shout with joy the entire earth. Our Lord has risen. And it goes on to say that. In the collect, it tells us, you are risen. St. Paul tells us in other places, we keep hearing these words throughout the time. If you are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things of this earth. Collect's telling us that. Follow the things that are part of the name of Christian, not those things that are not, not those unchristian things. We've given them up. We've sacrificed in Lent to separate from them. We have to continue that life. So in our minds, we think of, again, we've told a story before, I can't go through the details, but just being circumstances, shown this man who was dead and funeral director saying, oh, we did not prepare this body. This person's affiliation came in and prepared him, and this is how he wanted to show it to us. We saw him, and I told you, it was one of these moments, it changed my life, because I stood over this man, and I recognized that the way he was dressed meant these things were important to him. These were things he believed in, and I knew they were false. And I knew that he entrusted himself to these things, and where was he now? I stood over his body, but where was he? And at that moment, I said, I will never entrust myself to anything I don't know what it is. I will only entrust my things to sacramentals that I know what they are. They have been blessed. They belong to God. I'm saying that to you. So if you see anything in your life, adhere to the things that are part of your name, Christian. Reject anything that's not. Because that scared me, seeing he entrusted himself to that. Christians, when they're buried, they put the things they are entrusted themselves to, their rosary, the crucifix. That's what we entrust ourselves to. That's what we want to be buried with. And it goes down a list of all the things you want to avoid. Now, the epistle and gospel, which of course we have no time to really do, but just to mention. Because the epistle especially, well, the gospel too. The epistle is wonderful. I didn't take the time for the saints because time constraints, but we'll just say, of course, we have the statue of St. Augustine back there, right next to the confessionals, because of his confessions. And tomorrow's the feast of his mother. And he says in his confessions, I weep tears as I recall the death of my mother. And he says, do not deride me. Do not mock me for my tears, for making up for the tears she shed for me for 30 years. Do not mock my tears. And then we have St. Pius V, the Mass we're celebrating, canonized by him, codified by him, to stand for all times. But the other two saints, St. Stanislaus and St. Gregory Nazianzen, I'll just tell you, St. Stanislaus, Archbishop of Krakow, Poland, 11th century, prevailed upon by the nobles because their king was, they were all Catholic, but the king was out of control. They were too afraid to approach this king. So, you do something, Bishop. And so, of course, he did. And what did it do? Got him killed. And the great Gregory the VII, when this word came to him, he put the entire country under interdict because of what that king did. That was, no one could receive sacraments in that country because of what that king did until he would repent. That's a Catholic time. Then we have St. Gregory Nazianzen, 4th century, friend of St. Basil the Great, amazing story. And he was picked, this is St. Gregory now, Nazianzen, picked to be the Patriarch of Constantinople. This was the Rome of the time, because Rome and Italy was falling into chaos, really. But here he is, he's made Patriarch of the Imperial City. And he corrects abuses, reinstates the true faith, which is all kinds of problems going on. And within 18 months, he had the city on its way back to correction. But an uproar came. And they said, we will have nothing to do with this patriarch. And he said, to see it, show a difference, how saints will act differently and different under different graces. He said, I will not be the instrument of any death or anything here, I will resign. That's how he did, to bring peace. To give, he said, I am going to be just like Jonah and the whale. If I am the one who is causing trouble, throw me overboard, which, of course, in Jonah's story, that's what happened, if you remember. So he said, throw me over, just like with Jonah, to create peace. And he returned. The rest of the story we'll leave there. Now I bring these two up because of the fact that St. Peter in this epistle is telling us he's encouraging all of the early Christians who are living among the pagans. And he's saying, you have a greater responsibility because you're a Christian to set an example for them. And do not be discouraged. That's what he's telling them. Do not be discouraged. And so even when you must submit, thinking maybe St. Gregory Nazianzen here, even if you must submit to things that may not be exactly perfect, submit for the sake of Christ so that no one will take offense at the religion because you don't follow along. So the example, of course, in the early days there, what was the position of the apostles in the case of slavery? This was practiced everywhere. What did they do? You must go along with this system, and many of the people who were the first Christians were slaves. We even have an epistle from St. Paul telling a slave owner how to treat his Christian slave. So we have to practice the faith even more in difficult times. And finally, with no time left, just to say the gospel. Now, Now we're beginning now, as I said, to look ahead. We did a review, maybe more review than looking ahead. But now we're looking ahead because now our Lord is starting, and the Holy Mother, the Church is starting to tell us, our Lord is only with us for these 40 days. Now we have to get ready. He's going to go back to the Father. That's where he lives. That's where he belongs. And now Holy Mother, the Church is telling us, so he, now this section of the Gospel is from the Last Supper. So our Lord is speaking to them about the little time they're not going to see him from the time he dies on the cross and he stays in the tomb. They're not going to see him. But then he said, and that's going to be a terrible time. The world will laugh. You will cry. But don't worry, because you will see me again on Easter Sunday. And you'll see me for a short time, a little while, for 40 days. Before I ascend to the Father. And then they ask him about this, because they don't know this yet. It's a prophecy. And they ask him about, and he says, there will be times when you must suffer, the world will laugh. But don't worry, you will see me again. And then that happens, no one can take it away. So during our time of pilgrimage, St. Peter's talking about that, you pilgrims, our Lord himself was a wayfarer. But when this short time of the pilgrimage is over, you will see me again. And that will be eternal. You will never lose me again in heaven. And that is reinforced. We keep hearing it through the gospel. This little time, it's only a little time. It's terrible when it's happening as a mother giving birth, but it's only a short time. Just be faithful. Do not be discouraged. Hold on. And as to put the PS and to make sure we don't forget, at the communion, when we have our Lord, the communion verse says again, it's only a little time. This brief moment of heaven, this foretaste of heaven that you have with me at communion. Hold on to this in this little time that we must suffer. May God bless you.